Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly in the King James translation. But in the Message translation, notice how smooth that was? But in the Message translation, he says, I've come that you might have life better than you've ever dreamed. So we are here moving to a life that is better than we have ever dreamed, which is very consistent with Ephesians 3:20, that if you can ask it, think it, dream it, hope it, God can do better than that. Amen? Amen. But in John 10:10, Jesus goes on to say, but the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I don't know about you, but as to me and myself and my wife, the words steal, kill, and destroy, them are fighting words. Right? Yeah. To me, that is warfare. Jesus is saying you got a choice. You can have a life better than you have ever dreamed, understanding that you're involved in warfare, or you can stick your head in the ground, pretend that life is the way it should be, and there is no warfare. I look around here, I see all these military people in the natural, okay? And I know that you guys have been trained for warfare in the natural, and here at ABC, we're being trained for warfare in the spiritual, which is much more important than the natural. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus said, you are in warfare. The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But that enemy is a defeated enemy. He's defeated. So why is he being so successful? He's successful because there's still many people who don't believe the devil exists, that he's a real being. I'm talking about Christians who don't believe he's a real being. And the ones who believe that he is a spiritual being, a fallen angel, fallen cherub, actually, they're still being destroyed by a lack of knowledge. They don't comprehend they're in warfare. When you're in war as long as the war is going on. No, you may get set back behind the lines. You're still at war. You're just getting a little breather. But when you're in the front lines, the theater of war, at any moment, you could hear a whistling sound, right? And actually, that's the good part. The one you don't want to hear is the one you didn't hear. That's the bad one, right? So, we are in the front lines. We're in warfare. And so, today, I want to start talking about an introduction to a lifestyle of spiritual warfare. God wants us in these ending days to live as kings and priests, to move into all that Jesus paid for he paid for everything that you will need today and tomorrow and every day, everything you will need for life and for godliness already belongs to you because Jesus paid for it. The reason it's not manifesting in your life is because of warfare. One of the primary tools of warfare is the deceit to keep us in ignorance. But we have made a decision. We're not going to be ignorant anymore. Yeah. We're going to move up into the things of God. Amen?
Amen?
We want to know what God has promised us as the body of Christ and what he's promised us individually. We want to remove the lack of knowledge concerning the body of Christ as a whole and the lack of knowledge concerning us individually so we can get set free and take our place in the body of Christ as we all work together in the body of Christ to wrap up this whole mess and put the enemy under our feet. And welcome back the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? That's what we're here for. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, introduction to a lifestyle of spiritual warfare. We're going to look at two major subsections. One is called healing methods, and one is called daily scenarios. The healing methods we introduced more widely when we had the ABC Believers Miracle Service. And everybody who went through the ABC Believers Miracle Service was trained in this. Everybody who goes through healing school is trained in this. So almost everybody here should be familiar with this outline. The healing methods, let's start thinking of them, getting ready for the School of Dominion in January. Let's start thinking of them not just as healing methods, but as spiritual warfare methods. Because as we've said repeatedly, we were using healing as the example, but it works for every aspect of your life. These are just methods for receiving from God and methods for performing spiritual warfare. Amen? So under the healing methods, we have primary methods for receiving your healing. Primary methods for receiving your healing. And we have secondary methods for receiving your healing. The secondary methods are called spiritual warfare, and the primary methods are called praying in faith. It's some version of praying in faith. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the primary method. What I want to say about the primary method is this. Your salvation and my salvation was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. No, that's not when we received it. We receive it when we heard it, when we believed it, and when we acted upon it. At that point in time when we asked Jesus into our hearts to be our Savior, at that point we received the salvation. But it had belonged to you since Jesus died on the cross. Point of contact when we received it, we call that the day we were born again. And for many of us, we know exactly what the date is. Me, I even know the exact time. That was your point of contact when you said, okay, I believe the gospel. I believe Jesus is my Savior. And I receive Him as my Savior. And from that moment on, you consider yourself born again. You became a new creature. Your spirit was recreated, and you moved into a new life from the family of the devil into the family of God. Same way it is with everything you need from God. Ephesians 1:3 says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It has been paid for. It all belongs to you. It all belonged to you on the cross when Jesus paid for it. But we all receive it at different points in time. Once the lack of knowledge has been dispelled and we learn about the gospel, let's take healing as the example again. Once we learn that Jesus paid for our healing, that healing is part of our salvation package. Once we learn that the rapture is part of our salvation package, then we can believe for it. So we learn that Jesus took sickness and disease and infirmity, and by His stripes we were healed. We learn that. Then we believed it, and we acted upon it. Let's say there was a pain in your body, and you learned that Jesus was your healer, and you believe it, and you acted upon it. What is the action? For many believers, the first action is to have somebody pray for them. And the first place to pray for them is by anointing them with oil. When they're anointed with oil, that's the point of contact. That's when they believe they received their healing, even though the healing belonged to them from the day that Jesus died. That's their point of contact. They believe they have received their healing. At least believe they received their healing for that challenge with that pain. Some, they believe they received their healing from everything. And from that point on, they never again ask God for healing. But every time a challenge comes, they go after the devil. And they go after the symptoms. But for most believers, they believe they received their healing for that specific challenge. The action that was taken, such as the anointing with oil, the laying of hands, whatever that action was, when you believed you received your healing, that's called a primary method. You believe you've got it. You believe that when you prayed, you received, that it was done at that point in time. And from that point on, you speak, act, and believe that it has been done until you see the manifestation. All these primary methods, the anointing with oil, the prayer of agreement, asking in faith, the prayer of authority, the laying of hands, and the gifts of the Spirit of healing and faith. All these are primary methods. Because when that action is taken for you, or on you, or by you, at that point, it is your job to believe that you have received. It is your job to accept it as your point of contact where you release your faith and you say it's done. From that point on, you believe it has been done spiritually. And from that point, you move into spiritual warfare. For many people, many times we've seen it, the manifestation is instantaneous. First time or first two times. Limited number of times. Once, twice, maybe three times. But thereafter, it starts to take longer and sometimes longer and longer. Because it's the opportunity to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and for your faith to grow as you continue to believe the Word of God is true, even though there has been no change in your physical circumstances. You believe God's Word said it's done. You don't need to have to put your finger into the wounds on His hands. You believe it's done. And then one day you see the manifestation. It's called the primary method. You've released your faith. It is done. It is done spiritually. And now I go into warfare to get the devil to get his hands off my physical body. To get the devil to back off with his lies. To use the sword of the Spirit and push the devil back. Because we know that Jesus paid the price for our healing. Therefore, we are the healed of the Lord. We're not trying to get our healing from Jesus. He paid the price already. That's like saying somebody is waiting for Jesus to save them. Ain't going to happen. He paid the price for their salvation. They must believe it, and they must receive it, and they must speak it and accept it. Same way with your healing. You believe it's done, and then you move into the manifestation. In fact, Hal Lindsey, they said the sinner's prayer, they accepted Jesus. But there was no change in their lives for almost 2 years. For 2 years, you could have said, how could you be born again? You haven't changed. You're still doing what you used to do. And then they change. And he wrote a book, which was the number one best-selling book in the entire world for the entire decade of the 70s. But it took 2 years before anything happened. So you believe you receive your healing. And you stand in faith and you speak it and you act on it because you know you've been healed. And you've gone through the primary method. You never need another primary method for that challenge. But you have spiritual warfare. Drive the enemy back and to take his lies and go. If you think of the devil as a hypnotist, as a great deceiver, a hypnotist is a deceiver. Any hypnotist worth his salt can hypnotize just about any person to think they're a rooster or a chicken or a stiff piece of board. Before I was saved, when I was on the master's program at UCLA, I was trained in hypnosis. And I've done those things to people. But once I got saved, I quit all this stuff. But I've seen its power. Many of you have seen people do it. You've seen it in television. You've seen it in reality. All these men practicing hypnosis is nothing compared to the deception of the great deceiver. So your truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. And when you believe His truth, there is a way out of every challenge. Because the life of God will overcome every challenge in your life. So that's the primary method. You receive it once. That's the end of it. For that challenge, it's done. Me, when I receive it for every challenge. When I release my faith and believe I'd receive, I use a prayer of faith and I believe I'd receive my healing for every single challenge there is. Never again since the first time I went through healing, which took me 5 days to get the manifestation, the fullness of the manifestation. It took 5 days. Never again have I asked God for healing because I know my healing was paid for on the cross. From then on, in terms of healing, I've gone straight to the secondary methods. Secondary methods are called spiritual warfare. Understand the reason why we're doing this is not to teach primary method and secondary methods. It's to teach you or to move into a lifestyle where 7x24, you are involved in spiritual warfare and you know what to do. 7x24, you're involved in spiritual warfare and you know what to do. The starting point of the warfare for any area of your life is the primary method. One of these steps in faith. Once you have released your faith, once you have been anointed with oil, somebody has agreed with you, you've asked God in faith, you've commanded the challenge to go with authority, somebody has laid hands on you, or somebody has operated in the gift of the Spirit. Once that's been done, you never again go back to God and ask for that to be done. You never go back to that primary method. You go to the secondary method. For the Bible says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore with the armor of God on. Stand. In other words, once you have done what you should do, which is receive the primary method, then from then on, you go into a military stance. You stand with your armor on, waiting for the lies of the enemy. For the word of God says, as soon as the word is sown, Mark chapter 4, Satan comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. As soon as you go through a primary method, the devil will come to steal. Now, when we were baby Christians, the first time we were prayed for, or the second time, maybe even the third time, it was instantaneous. The devil didn't have a chance to steal it. But thereafter, he has an opportunity to steal it. Sometimes the symptoms might hang on for a while. The devil says, see, it doesn't work. It doesn't really work. Or it works. It works for Pastor Matthew, but not for me. Because he's a liar. And his job is to steal it out of your heart. Your job is to keep standing in faith without backing down. And to do that, you go into the secondary methods. There are 10 secondary methods for warfare that we've listed. By far, the most important is confessing your sins. In the beginning was the Word. But in the beginning of the Bible was the Word in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning in Genesis 1 and 2, there was no sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no problems. In Revelation, at the very end, we see no sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no death. And in heaven today, there's no sickness, disease, infirmity, or death in heaven. And our Father said, pray His will be done on earth today in your life as it is in heaven. So today, here on earth, God wants in your life no sickness, no disease, no infirmity, and no death. Because that's what's in heaven. But we go back to Genesis. And we get through 1 and 2 and everything is good. Everything is very good. We get to 3, what happens? The devil shows up. And when the devil showed up, there was sickness and disease and infirmity and death. We go to Revelation 21 and 22. No sickness, no disease, no infirmity. But what happened in 20? What happened in 20 is the devil is bound up and cast into the lake of fire with the beast, the human being who was inhabited by the devil, called the Antichrist. The beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And in Revelation 20, Satan is added to that lake of fire. Once Satan is gone, there's no more sickness, disease, infirmity, death. In heaven today, the devil is not in heaven. There's no sickness, disease, and infirmity. Now, you're all smart people. It's 100% correlation. 100% correlation. And you look at the correlation. Where the devil is, there's sickness, disease, infirmity, and death. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have life better than you have ever imagined it. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You think there's a connection between the devil being here to steal, kill, and destroy, and the sickness, disease, and infirmity? You better believe it. Therefore, your job and my job in terms of spiritual warfare is get the evil out. And get that evil out and get devil out. You notice how I roll that along? evil, the evil devil. Let's get it out of our lives. But why do we have it? Because Hosea 4, 6 said we perish for lack of knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 26. We oppose ourselves. Why do we oppose ourselves? Because of a lack of knowledge. In 2 Timothy, it goes on to say, we're taken captive by the enemy. We're in snares, a hypnotic trance, a drunken stupor. And we must take ourselves back out of that snare by not opposing ourselves. So, we can always do the spiritual warfare, even if we don't know what the specific challenges are. Now, number one in the spiritual warfare is confessing your sins. Confessing your sins. It's the most important thing you can do for your health, for your life, for your victory, is confess your sins. So generally, we confess our sins to God. There are occasions when we should confess it to somebody else for cleansing and breaking curses. That's in James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. Now, if you know the day may come when you have to stand on the rooftop of your house and yell out, here are my sins, to the whole countryside, you may choose not to do them. Am I right? The Bible says, what you do in secret will be yelled from the rooftop. It is going to happen. Turn the TV on and you see how often it's happening to people. Okay? But here, you may have to come to a point where you have to confess your sins to somebody. Here's my sins. Here's what I've been doing. Help me break these curses and get set free. So number one is confessing your sins. When you sin and you know it, you confess it. But if you go a period of time, for most of you, I say an hour or two, and you think, whoa, hour or two, I haven't committed a sin. Then stop and say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. But cleanse me of the ones I don't know about. Because the ones you don't know about are the ones that are really getting you. The ones you do know about are a symptom, are a result of the ones you don't know about. So when you explode at your husband, for example, you say, well, I exploded him because he made a nasty wise crack about my lipstick or my mud pack, right? Well, that's the known sin. What is the unknown sin? The unknown sin may be at dinner last night when you weren't looking, he ate your slice of cheesecake. And there's unforgiveness in your heart towards him. You follow me? The ones you don't know about are the ones that get you. And when you confess your known sins, after you practice for a while, you say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Please cleanse me of the ones I don't know about. And help me to identify my unknown sins. And help me not to do them again. Now, this is a lifestyle that you move into. What you want to do is picture yourself and you want to get out of you, off of you, and from around you and out of your house everything that's not godly. Because everything that's not godly can put connections and hooks and ties in you and move you towards sin. Picture if you're here with no connection to sin, the devil can't make you sick. Why is that? Because we just looked at the correlation. Jesus says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10, 19. The implication is you have cleansed yourself. Can something of the enemy hurt you if you're partnering with the enemy? If you get drunk and drive on the freeway at 100 miles an hour, you think something of the enemy could hurt you? I would think so. The implication is you've cleansed yourself as best as you could. And that part which you haven't cleansed yourself up because you're still ignorant, that's where grace comes in. To help you through the part you don't understand. Right? But the part you understand, get rid of it. So we're telling you, here's the number one part. Confess your sins. Every time you sin and you know it, confess it as soon as you calm down. Because sometimes when you're up there and you're yelling and giving somebody a piece of your mind, you don't really feel like confessing your sins. Is that true? But once you calm down, as soon as you can, confess your sins. So that's confessing your sins. Now, if you really want to move on to the next step, is once you confess your sins, you repented. Confess implies that you're repenting. I'm turning my back on the sin. It's my intention never to do it again. But then go on to renounce the effects of the sin. In Jesus' name, I repent of the sin of eating too much. How about too much chocolate? Yeah. I repent of the sin of eating too much chocolate. So, in the name of Jesus, I repent of the sin of eating too much chocolate. We've all agreed on that, right? In Jesus' name, I renounce the effects of those sins. In Jesus' name, I renounce the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind the sins. You repent, you renounce. And in Jesus' name, I break every hold, every tie was established to me when I overate or whatever the sin was. It's the second level, the higher level. We need to move to the point where automatically we confess our sins. And then move higher where automatically we confess, we repent, renounce, and break. We renounce the effects and we renounce the evil behind it. And then eventually move up to a higher level. In Jesus' name, I bind up every demon, devil, and evil spirit in Pastor Michael's house that would cause him to eat too much chocolate. And Pastor Michael and I cast them out of his house. Amen? That's how you make spiritual warfare a part of your lifestyle in terms of dealing with sins. And then, prayer of affirmation. You all know that here. In the name of Jesus, my body is healthy, healed, and whole. In the name of Jesus, my body has been set free for cravings for Pepsi. Okay? In the name of Jesus, I've been set free so I don't see red when I see USC t-shirts. So use affirmations. Because you have what you say when you don't doubt it. You call things that be not as though they are. You're agreeing with the word of God. And communion. Here for a long time, we recommend receiving communion at least once a day. And when you get a prayer partner, once a day by yourself, once a day with your prayer partner, it's twice a day. Or your spouse. Reading the Bible, especially aloud. I can't tell you how many people have received their manifestation and have been set free from demonic attacks just by reading the scriptures aloud. It's aloud. Understand that the word of God is a sword. And when you are reading it aloud, you're sticking the demons with the sword of the spirit. I mean, who's going to stand around when you're sticking them with a sword? They leave. And when they leave, the symptoms go with them. Praise and worship. Same thing. Praise and worship. Good praise and worship is always based on the word of God. So what are you doing? You're doing affirmations through music. Right? I'm talking about good praise and worship. All good praise and worship is based on the word of God. And so you're doing affirmations to music. That's all it is. Worshiping God in your body. Most of the time, the challenges come through our body. And yet most people are reluctant to worship God in their bodies. They don't like to lift up hands. They don't like to lie on the floor. They don't like to dance. These are all things the Bible says should do. They don't like to sing. Do in spiritual warfare, especially those things that you feel you don't really want to do. Because the ones that you really don't want to do, that's the one that's going to set you free. Because it's the demons telling you, you really don't want to go to church today. Right? You really want to kick back and watch TV. Why? Because the demons know when they go to church, problems are starting for them. Right? Praying in tongues. Here's a good rule of thumb. The only thing that should come out of your mouth should be that which brings grace to the hearer. Ephesians chapter 4. That which brings grace to the hearer. I believe verse 29. Only thing that should come out of your mouth is that which brings grace to the hearer. Well, let me tell you two ways to do that. Pray in tongues a lot and do affirmations a lot. We should live our lives either praying in tongues or doing affirmations, except when God has something for you to say. The rest of the time, we should keep our mouth shut. Fasting. Regular weekly fasting is necessary for an ongoing walk of victory. Ongoing walk of victory. I have not been giving the scriptures because this, you know, this is almost second nature to you all here. Everybody should have a copy of the outline. Breaking curses. You make a list of sins by category and you break curses, and we recommend a healing school semester 3 graduate to break it with you. You confess the sins. These are sins. I want to break them. You go through a process. We have prayers for doing that. And the person says, I agree. In Jesus' name. Resist the devil by doing things your body does not want to do. As soon as a challenge hits you, the first thing the devil is going to tell you is, here's a menu of items. Pick the one you think is causing the problem. Right? Stomachache hits. And here comes a thought. It's bad food. It's appendicitis. It's cancer. Okay? And give you a whole string of things. Pick one. Let me tell you, fool him. Don't pick any. Don't pick any. Okay? And once you pick one, then it starts to hit you with more of those lies. See? You have what you say. If you say, I have food poisoning, that's what you got. Food poisoning. But if you say, it can't be food poisoning because I always bless my food before I eat, the devil says, maybe you're right. It's not food poisoning. Maybe it's a tear in your intestine. You just go from one to another until you receive one. You fool him. As soon as it comes to you, you treat that thought as a sin. You repent, renounce, bind him up, and cast him out of there. Every time that step in spiritual warfare comes to you, which is an attack against you spiritually, attack against your emotions, attack against your body, you treat it as a fiery dart, you repent of it as the voice of a demon, and you renounce the demon, bind him up, and cast him out. You get that habit going for you, and after a while, they won't bother you very much. They'll come by once in a while to see if you're still serious. So, the example here is a person with foot pain should use a foot in as normal a lifestyle as possible, subject to dealing with the pain. You know, I mean, is the limit to how much pain people can endure. Any regular activity which requires the use of the foot should be used as best as you can as an opportunity to press in against the devil. However, remember, this is very important, remember that a Christian should be obedient to authority. A Christian has to be obedient to authority. It's very important. It's a sin when you're not obedient to the authority that you put yourself under. And therefore, a Christian should not disobey his or her doctor. If the doctor says, here's what you got is A, here's the thing, here's the prescription, go take it, you need to take it. Now, if the doctor says, here's what you have, and you can take this when you feel like it, it's discretionary, then you don't have to take it. If it's discretionary, you don't have to take it. If the doctor says you must take this, you can say, doctor, is it mandatory that I take this? If the doctor says, yes, you must take it, then you got two choices. Quit the doctor or take it. That's the two choices. Anything else is a sin. Because you put yourself under the doctor's authority. Want to make sure you all get it. Everything comes to a Christian through authority. All the authority comes from God. We need to be obedient to authority. Not being obedient to authority is rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. Understand? You don't want to get into rebellion. You don't want to get into witchcraft. You want to get into obedience. Daily scenarios. Daily scenarios came about because I got tired of telling the same people the same thing. Which actually is how ABC came about. Which is why we have healing school. But in terms of daily scenario, people were coming, then they were having, like, the doctor says, you know, they're going to die or could die. This is an emergency. They got to deal with it right away. And I go through the whole thing and tell them. So finally, we wrote it down. But we've had a lot of miracles. That's why we kept telling people the same thing. So daily scenarios, as it was originally taught at ABC, was intended to be a drastic response to a drastic problem. One of the major examples we use is this person was told by the doctor, went in for a regular checkup prior to leaving on vacation. And the doctor was horrified. The doctor said, you know what you say is a little numbness in your arm. That's caused by your spine and your nerves. And you need to go home, pack your bag, come back in. We're going to check you into the hospital immediately for surgery tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. I mean, they're ready to go on vacation tomorrow morning, or you'll be totally paralyzed or die. No, that's a wake-up call. So that's a drastic situation. So the drastic solution was they opted to do it God's way. No pressure for me at all. They opted to do God's way. God's way was this. It was they had a week schedule. All their friends thought they were going on vacation, so they just turned the phone off. As far as the word was concerned, they were on vacation. And they immersed in God's word of healing for 7 straight days. All they did was healing. Didn't talk to anybody. Didn't watch TV. They listened to teaching on healing. They read the Bible. And they did these scenarios. Let me read them to you. Below are the recommended steps in spiritual warfare for overcoming sickness and disease and gaining back one's health. The person who is challenged should do all of the following 4 to 5 times a day. So at that point in time, for a drastic situation, we said do this 4 or 5 times a day. And in between that, you are doing praise and worship, reading the Bible on healing, that kind of godly stuff. Steps are confess your sins and break curses if you have curses to break. Because confessing your sins is always the most important thing. Bind the demons in your house and cast them out. Matthew 18:18. Establish the kingdom of God in your home. Just give your home to God. Invite the Spirit of the Lord to fall fresh upon you. Isaiah 11:2. Bind the spirit of infirmity in or on your body and command it to leave. Or whatever spirit is the body. If it's cancer, bind the spirit of cancer. Receive communion from 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. Thank the Lord for your healing. Then do 100 to 500 affirmations of thanksgiving for each scenario. Remember, it's recommended they do 4 or 5 scenarios a day. Do 100 to 500 affirmations of thanksgiving each scenario. Of that, half should be general. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Half is general. The other half is specific. This lady's case, she was doing, my spine and nerves have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or maybe my back, spine, and nerves have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't quite remember, but that's the concept. And she chose to do 600 affirmations at a time, and she did 5 scenarios a day. Right? 600 at a time, 5 scenarios per day. She was doing 3,000 affirmations a day. She did 3,000 affirmations a day for 7 days, which of course would include 5 communions, because every scenario has 1 communion. So she received communion 5 times a day. She did 3,000 affirmations per day. The rest of the time was spent in studying the Bible, praying in different ways, praying in tongues, the different things on the secondary method. She went back to the doctor the following week, and the doctor checked her out and said, this is totally amazing. I don't know what you did, but you're totally healed in 7 days. Okay? Now, we normally teach that one in semester 2. Okay? Now, when you're doing your affirmations, you want to put some thought into the wording of the affirmation. It's like if you're going to go to a gunfight, don't take a water pistol, right? Don't take a water pistol to a gunfight. So you want to put some thought into your affirmations. Affirmations, roughly half should be general and half specific. The reason why we make half specific is because, well, we just had one just Friday. A person had been affirming, my throat has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I said, be sure to do a half, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Finally, the doctors diagnosed the challenge. It's not the throat, it's the stomach. Stomach was creating acid reflux, which was going up as the person is sleeping and damaging the throat. So the problem was not the throat, it's the stomach. So now the person can focus on the stomach. In fact, he may even be totally healed. This may be a thing from the doctor, maybe after the fact. So, standard affirmation. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Specific would be, my right knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Very important. You address the part of your body that's being challenged, not the symptom, nor the disease. You do not say, my pain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. First of all, it's not your pain, so don't claim it. Secondly, the pain isn't being healed. It's the underlying tissue or body that's being healed. Same thing with diabetes. You do not say, my diabetes has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's not your diabetes. What's being healed is the body, the pancreas, and the sugar cycle is being healed, not the diabetes. Very important. Very important. And you can do it as thanksgiving to God. Thank you, Lord, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, my right knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But the major focus of affirmation is not to God. It's almost negligible, except for thanking God a couple of times. The major focus is to use the sword of the Spirit to drive out the lying devil and all his deceit and all his demons. The concept is this. Without the devil, there's no sickness, disease, infirmity, and death. So you want to get them out of your life and out of your home. Just as the book of Revelation is all about one thing. The book of Revelation is all about one thing. It's taking that devil and casting him into the lake of fire. The entire process of the ending days and the book of Revelation is to put the devil in the lake of fire. Because once he's in the lake of fire, there's no more sickness, disease, or infirmity. That's what we want to do. So the introduction to spiritual warfare basically says this. You want to live your life so you're constantly cleansing yourself and your environment of everything that's displeasing to God. Your words, your behavior, your possessions, and most of all, demons, devils, and evil spirits. Now in this process, the thought comes up is the thought of bad habits. I have these bad habits. Of course, I know maybe nobody here has them but me, so let's talk about me. I got these bad habits. I want to get rid of them. Well, decades ago, I used to think the bad habits are my bad habits. But I realized that if there was no devil, there wouldn't be any bad habits. Because in Genesis 1 and 2 and heaven and at the end of Revelation, there are no bad habits. So the devil is connected with the bad habits. And I realize I'm supposed to look at myself the way the Bible says I am. I am what the Bible says I am. The Bible says I have the mind of Christ. Well, what bad habits are in the mind of Christ? The answer is none. So by faith, my mind is the mind of Christ and has no bad habits. My body holds the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in my spirit, but my spirit dwells in my body. It belongs to God. You think God owns anything in heaven that has bad habits? I don't think so. Do you think he wants to own your body when there are bad habits in it? No. That's why he wants you to be washed by the water of the word to get rid of it. So a significant change here for some of you is to understand that bad habits are manifestations of the temptations of the enemy. If you view every bad habit you had as a manifestation of demonic temptation, then you can apply all these principles and start to get rid of it. And let me tell you, I've gotten rid of a lot of bad habits over the years by exactly doing this. By exactly doing this. What are some of the bad habits I've gotten rid of over the years? I used to smoke. I don't smoke anymore. I'm talking about cigarettes. A few times I used marijuana to be social. For some reason, never had any effect on me. This is before I was saved. Technically, also when I was backslidden, I was a social marijuana smoker. Had no effect on me. What's the bad habit? I used to drink like a fish, except I drank alcohol, not water. I don't do that anymore. I used to drink up to 14 cups of coffee a day. I don't do that anymore. And then we can start talking about my really bad habits. Those are the good ones. Those are the good bad habits. We're not going to talk about my really bad habits. All those things I don't do anymore because I got rid of them by realizing they don't belong to a child of God. I did not get rid of them by my discipline and my control. I got rid of them through the Word of God. Exactly what I'm teaching. That every time the desire came up to do something I shouldn't do, I treat it as a sin, I renounce the demons, and I cast them out. So what am I saying here? I'm saying live your lifestyle seeing yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. Sin does not belong to you. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God should be on you all the time. The Word of God should be in your mouth. Anything short of that is a lie and an attack of the enemy. The way to move into a life that's better than you ever dreamed is to view everything connected to you that's not of God as an attack of the enemy. Because the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, you may have habits and you say, yes, I know it's a sin, but I really enjoy it. You only enjoy it because the devil has programmed you to the point where you enjoy it. You get rid of the devil, you speak to the habits, you come back to the point where you find it revolting. Every bad habit you have, you'll come to the point where you find it revolting. when you cast these demons out of your life. Because you are a child of God. You're a son and you're a daughter in the family of God. And holiness is your birthright. And God wants you to be holy. And the way to wage spiritual warfare as part of your lifestyle is to treat everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, everything that you have that is not of God, treat it as an attack of the enemy. The only way you can lose is to start accepting these things as you. Oh, that's my bad thought. Why? Because you like it? Your body can be programmed to like anything. They got people who run around these cities here like they're a motor car. One man, whose name I won't mention, says to me, I was up on the hills over here, and I looked across there, and I saw some green. No, he ran up the hills. Let me tell you, I have trouble walking up the hills. He ran up the hills. He's on top of the hill. He looked. He saw some green, which is a few miles away. He said, I went over to see it. I said, how did you go? He said, I ran. He just ran over to look at the green and ran back. He thinks it's a Ferrari. Because he has programmed his body to do what he wants in the area of running. You can program your body to do anything because you have control over your body. But if you share that control with a great deceiver, he will trick you up. You'll say, oh, you're the one who really wants the Pepsi. Because he wants to get you hooked in Pepsi. He doesn't care what you get hooked in. As long as you're hooked. You understand? He doesn't care. You could be hooked on eco-culture. You could be hooked on saving rare fish. He doesn't care what you're hooked on as long as it keeps you from Jesus Christ. So you treat everything that gets between you and God, everything that's unholy, treat it as the voice of a demon, confess it as a sin, or be it, and these things will start leaving your life. Now, let's review what we've said so far. Confess your sins frequently. Every time you sin and you know it, confess it. I don't care if you've done it 200 times today. Confess it again. Lord, help me not to do it again. Every time. It makes no difference how many years you've been bound with that habit. You confess it. And every time you confess, you say, Lord, set me free from this. Even if you have to say that 200 times in one day. And if you go a period of time, a couple hours, hour or two, me, I target 15 minutes to half an hour. Every 15 minutes to half an hour, my goal is, if I don't know any sins, I say, Lord, cleanse me of the sins I don't know. Show me the ones I don't know. Help me to overcome them. And in Jesus' name, I renounce every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind my unknown sins. I bind them up and I cast them out of me, my body, and my life, and my house. That's what I do as part of my lifestyle every 15 minutes after. And then I invite the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon me. And then I say, God, this whole house, wherever I am, it belongs to you. All that process, you can get that down to like 45 seconds or a minute. Doesn't take long once you practice. Build up to it. Now let's say you're doing all this and a challenge comes. I have what I call mini scenarios. Here are some effective examples of mini scenarios. Each of these mini scenarios has produced miraculous healing manifestation in many people. You may mix and match them to your satisfaction. However, if you are having difficulties in receiving the desired manifestation, then please force yourself to do the scenarios which you would personally prefer not to do. Why? You personally prefer not to do it. Why? Because it goes against your basic personality or nature. Like you might say, my basic personality is I'm a quiet, kind of an introverted person. It's not in my nature to get up in front of public and dance and make a spectacle of myself. That's the one you need to do. Because you're probably bound up by fear and intimidation and terror and past feelings of rejection and unforgiveness. That's why you don't want to do it. Do the ones you really don't like to do. The ones that are easy. If you're a very vocal kind of person and speaking comes easily, there'll be less bang for your buck when you do that. But if you're a quiet person and you don't talk very much, get up in the middle of your house. go to the sidewalk and yell out loudly, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm serious. Go up on the rooftop and yell it out. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You go someplace and somebody says, I'm John. He says, I am the healer of the Lord. Amen? So here are some ministerials. The initial CS means confess sins. Confess sins we discuss in 1D. So, here's a scenario. Confess your sins. Do 100 affirmations, which takes about 5 minutes. So you can count them and just time yourself for 5 minutes. And then repeat it every 15 minutes. So you confess your sins and you do 100 affirmations. Take a break for a couple of minutes and repeat it every 15 minutes. For how long? Well, one good answer is, do it until you get your victory. That's the best answer. The other way, do it for as much time as you have. Kenneth Hagin says, if you are prepared to stand forever, and in this terminology, if you are prepared to do affirmations, if you are prepared to do ministerials forever, it usually doesn't take very long. It's when you're wishy-washy and say, well, I think I get a few affirmations out before I go watch TV. Then it may take a while. Because the devil knows, all I got to do is wait, hang on for 10 minutes until she starts her favorite soap opera. And then I'm home free. Because in watching the soap opera, I'm probably going to commit a whole bunch of sins and reinforce my staying here. Oh, did I step on somebody's toe? So confess your sins, do 100 affirmations or 5 minutes. Repeat every 15 minutes. I want to talk for a couple of hours on strongholds. Okay? I got a few okays. Okay. Two strongholds. I want to talk about two strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is, shall we say, a strong man with a chain of demons, devils, or evil spirits that support him. Let me give you an example. Pride is a strong man. Pride is the strong man in everybody's life. Pride. But my suggestion is you not go after pride until you have some success dealing with strongholds and getting rid of some of your strongest bad habits. Because your bad habits and my bad habits are founded in pride. The reason why I commit the sins of my bad habit is to please me. And that's pride. Okay? So, let's not go after pride. But I want you to understand, let's start with impatience. Impatience, because of the pride, is something we want. I'll give a simple example. Many Christians have the rightful attitude that their word is their bond. What they say is what they should do. But once they say it, they're in a contractual relationship based on their word. That's correct. That's the way it should be. But sometimes we say something without being led by the Spirit, or we do it presumptuously, and we say, we'll be there at 11. But we didn't check with the Holy Spirit. So your word is you're going to be there at 11. But we didn't check with the Holy Spirit. And so something comes up, and we're now behind schedule. And you're thinking, well, my word is I have to be at 11. So you start to get impatient. You start to hurry with your dressing. And the women cut themselves shaving. No, the men cut themselves shaving. Okay? So they cut themselves shaving, which gets them more irritable. Makes them later. And now they got to make up some time. They get in their car and they're speeding on the freeway trying to keep their word. So to keep their word of being there at 11, they're breaking their word to God, which is, I'm not going to sin. Because speeding is a sin. That's impatient. No, they're impatiently hurrying and they are afraid of being late. Impatience and fear. Or they're afraid the cop might catch them speeding. Impatience always leads to fear. That's the first stronghold. Pride, impatience, fear. It's the most common stronghold. It's one of the hardest ones to break. But I want you to be aware. Next stronghold is rejection. Something happened, you feel rejected. So what happened? You get offended. Bill rejected me. Now I feel offended. And now you get angry at him. I'm going to walk in unforgiveness towards Bill. Rejection, offense, unforgiveness. a sequence of sins that make up a stronghold. Now let's put them together. Let's take the first one and hook you up with the second. How do you hook up the first sequence? Pride, impatience, fear, with rejection, offense, and unforgiveness. And you know unforgiveness blocks all your prayers. So the goal is to block all your prayers. And the devil can block all your prayers if he gets you to unforgiveness. So it's pride, impatience, fear of losing something. So you and your spouse are getting ready to go to church. And pride is, I always like to be in time for church. And so you're impatient, you got ready, but the wife is late. And you're impatient, pushing her, and you're afraid you're going to be late. And you're going to walk in and break your record of 100% on time attendance. So your wife is late. And you're disappointed. I'm going to be late. My perfect attendance is down the tubes. You're disappointed. And disappointment leads to rejection. Doesn't she understand how important it is to get to church on time? Doesn't she understand how important it is to keep my record spotless? I'm an elder in the church. I can't afford to be late. So she's rejecting me because she's not paying attention to my values and my importance. And you're rejected. I said, oh, you know, just like her. She never thinks about anybody but herself. And you get offended. And then I'm not going to talk to her. And the poor you come to church and nobody's talking to anybody on forgiveness. Right? And the devil has both of you in unforgiveness. So disappointment hooks up the two sequences. We all need to watch for that as part of our introduction to spiritual warfare. Okay? Okay. You can confess those things as sins. Start up with one of them. And do affirmations. In the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I won't be afraid of being late. I won't be afraid of what people think. I won't be afraid of the boogeyman under the bed. In the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of fear. You pick one and you start to break it. And once you break the chain is broken. Then you go after each individual one. So you could do 100 affirmations until the fear dwindles down or leaves. Mini scenario B. Confess your sins. Forgive from your heart everybody who has ever said or done anything to you or about you that was displeasing to you or to your Heavenly Father. No matter what happens, it falls into that category. It was displeasing to you or displeasing to your Heavenly Father. Forgive them from your heart. Everybody, starting from the moment you were conceived through birth all the way up until now, you do that. Then, in the name of Jesus, you bless them. That's a good mini scenario. Confess your sins. You forgive them and you bless them. End of story. Just on Friday, we had somebody had some significant breakthrough just by doing that. Somebody came up. I didn't even pray for them. I led them in a prayer. Significant breakthrough. Got an email late last night. Person is still in peace. Still in peace. Here's another scenario. Confess your sins. Notice that I always start with confessing your sins. Receive communion. Do 100 affirmations. Repeat every 15 minutes. How long do you repeat it? Until you get what you're looking for. Or you can say, well, you know, it might take a while. So, okay, I do 1 hour a day, every day, until I get what I want. Because maybe your schedule is very busy. Do it half an hour every day until you get what you want. Here's another one. Number D. Confess your sins. Praise and worship. Do affirmations, receive communion. Now you're stringing them together. Repeat as needed. E, confess your sins, praise and worship. Dance before the Lord until the chanting leaves. We have several people in here who've gotten their manifestation by doing that. They confess their sins, they did praise and worship, and they danced before the Lord, all by themselves at home. And they got their manifestation. Several people. Actually, we have several people here who have gotten manifestations from everything I've done so far. In fact, I think all of these. Here's a wonderful one. Confess your sins. Read the Bible out loud for an hour. Book of Mark is recommended. Read the Bible out loud for an hour. You will not believe how dramatic that is in changing your life. and driving the demons out of your house. Confess your sins, receive communion, pray in tongues for 10 minutes, and repeat every 15 minutes. Number H, confess your sins, begin a fast. Fast begins in your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I go on a fast. Fast can be simple. Lord, I give up coffee. I give up television. I give up cookies. I give up 1 grain of rice per meal. For the Chinese, that's really hard. And then do one of the many scenarios. Remember, I believe, I teach, you cannot walk as a successful Christian in a victorious lifestyle on an ongoing basis if you do not fast on a regular basis. I truly believe that from my heart. I truly believe the Bible teaches that. You must fast on a regular basis. Letter I. Confess your sins. Do 50 affirmations. Receive communion. Do something physical which you really don't feel like doing. Suppose that you're in bed because you're being challenged with pain. Do all that and then force yourself to sit up. Force yourself to get out of bed. Force yourself to do something. Go wash the dishes. J, confess your sins. Remind God and the devil that you have already forgiven everybody. Now bless them again. You can hook this one up with the one B that says forgive everybody. Once you've forgiven everybody in the past, you don't need to forgive them again. But sometimes you need to remind the devil that you've already forgiven them. And every time he bugs you, you bless them some more. But the new one's coming up. You may have forgiven everybody up until yesterday. And then today, you got angry at somebody because they wore a USC t-shirt at the church. Right? Then you need to forgive them again. Because it's a new incident. Or a new t-shirt because you burnt the last one. Okay? Confess your sins. Bless everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless everybody. I love everybody. I'm a loving, forgiving person. Had somebody do that. Affirm, in the name of Jesus, I'm a loving, forgiving person. They did it for about half an hour and threw up 5 times. Okay? Bless everybody. Forgive God and bless Him. Many times when we are hurt or we're waiting on the manifestation, we get angry at God. I can tell when people are angry at God because they get angry at me. It's true. Not because I'm so godly, but because I'm telling them what God says. And whenever they get angry at God, it slops over to me. You'd be surprised how many people are not talking to me at this point in time. They're not talking to God either, eh? Excuse me? Oh, yeah, I forgive them. Sure, of course, definitely. I forgive them and bless them. Because, you know, once you understand that these bad habits are coming from the devils and demons, it's hard to really offend you. Because you know that people don't know what they're doing. They're opposing themselves. They don't know what they're doing. That's why Jesus said, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't. They're like puppets on a string being manipulated by demons. They have no idea. So once you get to this point where you treat yourself that way, it's easy to treat others that way. Once you start to love yourself and realize, I'm not such a bad dude, it's these demons. Once you start to love yourself, then you can love others. But you have to make that differentiation. You are a child of God. Anything that does not belong in the mind of Christ is from the devil. Get rid of it. Don't care what other people teach. This is the truth of God. Let me tell you, this is truth. It will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? You know, forget this stuff about this sin in your flesh. Forget it. The demons in your flesh is what's in your flesh. Get them out. They got the fiery darts in your flesh. Your flesh can be trained to be godly. I know that sounds like heresy. Not heresy to the Bible, heresy to what people say. Yeah, it is. Get the fiery darts out of your flesh. Because Jesus Christ died to restore you to what Adam had, and Adam had glory over him. Adam was not walking in bad habits. That's what you've been restored to. Not bad habits. Not sin consciousness in your flesh, but fiery darts of demon trying to control you. You have been restored to everything that Adam had. Number L, confess your sins. Bless yourself. Well, that was a good introduction to this one. Bless yourself. Bless your body. Bind the mercy of God to your body and to every cell, organ, and system. You're the temple of God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You think the blood of Jesus was not powerful enough to get rid of all the sin that's in your body and get rid of everything that caused sin in your body? People say, you're human beings, you have to sin. That's not true at all. You're not a human being. You're a child in the family of God. First of all, you are in the family of God. Secondly, you're in this world, but not of this world. This body is just your legal right to be on earth. It's nothing but a suit of clothes. I mean, can you imagine going before the judge and saying, yes, judge, but I bought this purple suit. And every time I put on a purple suit, I feel like going out and slapping people across the face. That's why I'm in court, because I slapped somebody. The purple suit made me do it. What do you think the judge would do? Send you to jail with your purple suit, right? Well, that's what we're trying to tell people. My body made me do it. It's just a suit of clothing. It's just a house. Your house can't tell you what to do. Suppose this house tried to tell me what to do. No. It's a house. You tell it what to do. Smith Wigglesworth says, I don't ask my body how it feels. I tell it. That's what you and I should do. You tell your body how you feel. So bless yourself. Bless your body. Bind the mercy of God to your body and to every cell, organ, and system. Last one. Confess your sins. Receive communion. Bind up the demons, devil, and evil spirits of infirmity or pain or fear or cancer or whatever. And in the name of Jesus, command them to leave you, your body, your home, and your life. Receive communion again. Do 200 affirmations and repeat as needed. These are your prescriptions. Whether or not you take them is up to you. But I've shown you what I do. I've shown you what I've been setting people free at ABC for years. These are the things I assign over the phone when people call me. And let me tell you, I get called with some serious challenges. One night at about 3 a.m, a call comes in, I pick it up, and this person is screaming, Pastor, I got to leave for the emergency hospital. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Do something. Do something. And I'm ministering healing to get rid of the pain. And while I'm ministering, about 5 minutes of the call, the other line rings. I pick it up. I got two people, both screaming, they're about to leave for the emergency hospital if I don't do something. And you know, by the grace of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we got both of them down to zero. Both of them got totally healed on the phone. Okay? And didn't take that long either. Maybe an hour. One time I got a call around 4 a.m. Man is screaming. Man is screaming. He's not on the phone. His wife is on the phone. I can hear him screaming in the background. Tremendous pain. We're about to leave for the hospital. We thought we'd call you for help. We got him down to a zero. It took from 4 a.m. until 11. It took 7 hours. But he got his victory. And never again did that problem ever come back to him. Never again. It's all done with many scenarios, breaking curses. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you, Father, that you'd anoint the word in these hearts and bring forth much fruit to them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let us do what we have been talking about.